married just next weekend. Very wild. And yeah, coming down to the wire here. But recently we've been thinking about social media, and as well as just some things that as Christians that we feel like sometimes we talk about maybe just in conversations, but we don't really do a whole lot of midweeks or Fridays about it. And so tonight we're honing in on a really important topic, which is really Jesus and social media. So I'm going to share my screen here. I do have some slides for us tonight to help you guys out. Let me just do full screen. And, you know, we've been thinking a lot about this topic and how social media has affected our lives. And so we're excited to share some things that we're learning, as well as just kind of raise some questions just to get us thinking and to help you guys out tonight. And so the way I'd like to frame this lesson is simply by asking the question of how would Jesus use social media? And within that question is kind of these subpoints of, you know, who would he follow, right? Who would Jesus be following, and what would he post? And so I do believe that Jesus would have some form of social media. I'll share more later on why I believe that. But at the end of the day, guys, we're followers, we're disciples of Jesus. And so the way we should think about everything in our life is through the lens of this question, which is how would Jesus be? What would he do? Whatever we're interacting with in the world around us, we got to ask ourselves that question. So when it comes to the hot topic of media, we need to do the same. And so the main question that we're going to be aiming to let the scriptures answer for us tonight is, how can we represent Christ on social media? How can we represent Christ? I'm going to do one more thing here. Just make sure I'm good. Okay. Cool. So again, we will have some slides here tonight. All the scriptures will be on here just to make it a little easier for you guys. I know you guys got finals. There's a lot going on. But let me say right off the bat, just to be clear, is that there are no scriptures in the Bible about Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, or even MySpace. I've looked. There's not even scriptures about MySpace. So we're going to be looking at biblical principles about self-control, about being a light, and taking care of our temples. And we're going to see how these scriptures, these principles, apply to this modern day phenomenon we call social media, right? Some of you are like, what the heck is MySpace? I had a MySpace for a little while, very short-lived. other people are like, that's hilarious. But just to say that we definitely don't have all the answers, okay? But we do have some things that are on our heart to preach about and some questions to ask you guys tonight. So also just to say right off the bat too, social media is not inherently good or bad, right? I think what we've all learned is that it can be used for tremendous good and evil at the same time. And so it's how we engage with it that matters, like a lot of other things in life. And so we have 3 points for you guys tonight. Let me make sure this is working. There we go. First point is watch your eyes. Second point is watch your words. And the third point is be a light. And so we're going to try to keep these brief and to the point. But you might be asking yourself this question, or asking me, you might be one ask me right now, is why is this topic such a big deal? You might be like, bro, why are we doing a whole midweek on this right now? And that's a great question. So for some of you, you may be totally aware and you may know that you're on social media way too much. You might be very in touch with that. For others of you, you may not think this is a big issue for yourself, but it might be more than you think it is. Even though you might not see yourself as someone who's on it a lot, it still might be affecting your life and your walk with God. And there's also probably a handful of people on this call that are completely off of all social media platforms. And all I got to say is more power to you. But that's probably a handful of people on this call. But this doesn't mean that there's, for you guys that maybe aren't on social media, it doesn't mean that there's not other media or technology that you aren't using for hours a day, right? There's a lot of things that we can get on a screen to do for hours a day. So wherever you're at, we all need to realize that every day, the world and big tech companies are trying to get us to look at our screens longer and longer every day. If you could just boil down their goal to one thing, it's for you to look at your screen longer each day. And so whether it be on Instagram or YouTube or a video game, that is our struggle, right? If we're being honest with ourselves. And I just want you to think about this thought for just a moment, for just one moment, is how different would 2020 look if social media didn't exist? How different this year would look. Oh my goodness, right? The pandemic in a lot of ways has made us look down on our screens more than looking up to God. And I'm certainly guilty of that at times during this pandemic. And again, it's not all bad, right? We wouldn't be in touch with the social injustices and social unrest going on in our country if it wasn't for social media platforms, right? Probably a way less percentage of people would be if social media didn't exist, right? So there's great good. There's education happening. Things that the world needs to see are happening. But the flip side is we can also be very overwhelmed by the amount of information we're taking in each day and each week. And guys, we weren't really designed to take in the amount that sometimes these platforms want us to take in. You know, if you think about it, I don't know how many people that you have following you on social media, but we weren't really made to think about what 2,000 people think about us in one moment, or to think about how many people judge us in one moment. That's kind of crazy, right? Even just being in a room with three people can be a lot as you're thinking about yourself and being self-conscious. So you guys have probably heard of a recent documentary that came out. It's called The Social Dilemma. You can watch it on Netflix. It's a very powerful documentary. I highly recommend that you check it out. Take some notes. But that documentary, all I'm saying is it goes very in depth. We're just going to be kind of scratching the surface with this lesson tonight. But that documentary is not about spirituality at all. Tonight we're talking about spirituality. And so with over 70% of the U.S. population holding a social media account, these platforms and these services that we use now have become pretty much the most popular online activities in the past decades. So I just want to share some of these stats here, right? So by the year 2017, it was recorded that 69% of adults were using social media compared to just 5% of Americans in 2005. That's a large increase, right? And so it's also said that by 2023, it's estimated that there will be about 257 million people on social media in this country. You know, researchers have found that among young people, there's a real correlation between social media use and our mental health. And so the rate of adolescents reporting symptoms of major depression in a year has increased from 52% in 2005, and it's 52% from 2005 to 2017. And so again, we're just seeing these correlations. And from 2009 to 2017, that rate grew by 63% in ages 18 to 25, which is people like us on this call, right? College students. You know, people are experiencing psychological distress in a given month. That grew 71% in young adults from 08 to 2017. And even worse, the rate of suicidal thoughts in young adults increased 47% since during that time in 08. And so I just share these stats, these kind of meaningful stats, to say that, really needless to say, that's why we're doing this lesson. That's why we're talking about this tonight, because this is affecting our lives, whether we realize it or not. This is relevant, and we want to see us be healthy, right? And we want to see our friends and people come to know God. And so our first point here is watch your eyes. You guys can turn over to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start there tonight. Matthew chapter 6. And we want to start by talking about how we need to be careful about what we're letting ourselves see, right, as we get on our phones and our screens. And we got to be careful about who we're following. So Matthew 6, Jesus says in verse 22, he says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" So this scripture is saying the eye is the lamp of the body, right? What we let our eyes see, it matters. And so when our eyes are seeing good, right, or good things or positive things, we'll be healthy spiritually. But when we're taking in non-holy messages and images at a large rate, we become unhealthy spiritually, right? So if you haven't already noticed this, there are some very jacked up things, even demonic things, that we find online and on social media, right? Some things are just straight up sin. And other things we may come across that are kind of towing the line with sin. But I just want to ask you tonight, are your eyes healthy? And what are you letting your eyes see? Who are you following that you know Jesus would not be following on social media? You know, what we let our eyes see will affect us in our day and our mindset, whether we realize that or not. But I just want to ask you, what are you putting in? Guys, we're temples. We house the Holy Spirit, right? The living Spirit of God. We're houses of God. He takes up residence in us. But what are you putting the Holy Spirit through? What things may you be looking at in the day as the Spirit's in you that you know are not beneficial to your walk with God? You know, I think if we were to look at Jesus's life, right, and we can see that in the Gospels, Jesus didn't really look for people to follow. He followed God, obviously, but he actually said, "Come follow me," right? That's what Jesus did. He said, "Follow me." So I think Jesus's Insta bio would probably just say something like, "I am the Lord and come follow me," right? And people would, you know, hopefully follow him if social media was, you know, around when Jesus was around. But sadly, I think for a lot of us, we follow a lot of other things that aren't Jesus, and sometimes we follow them even more closely. And we can let our eyes see things that I believe Jesus would never want us to see, right? Whether that be pornography, hatred displayed in comments or a thread, violence, there's coarse joking we can come across, really anything that's unholy. I think Jesus doesn't want us to see those things, right? It doesn't do any good for us or anyone. And so there's a reason why Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." I also like how the Message translation puts it. It says, "Keep vigilant watch over your heart." That's where life starts. So if everything we do flows from the health of our hearts, then what we put into our eyes is going to affect our hearts. And the state of our hearts is then going to affect our actions, right? And so God is calling us to keep a vigilant watch over what we put in. I think sometimes we don't apply the scripture to our media consumption. We may apply it to a brother or sister that we're interested in, right? But in this scripture, it also applies big time to media as well. And so again, I just want to ask you tonight, how's it going keeping watch over your heart and over how the things you're watching are affecting your heart, which is a very important thing about you. And so here's the deal, guys. What we read, the videos we watch, the photos we glance at, they are all affecting our thinking. They all are changing our mind in some way. And that kind of reminds me of the word repentance, right? Which in the Greek means metanoia, a mind change. And so it's easy to conform when we're taking in a lot of media that wants us to conform. But Paul urges us in Romans 12 to do the opposite. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve of what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We all know this scripture, right? And so Paul's saying here, hey, be a living sacrifice, right? Be holy and pleasing to God. And he instructs us to not conform to the pattern of this world. If you want to know what the pattern of the world is, all you got to do is hop on Instagram for a little bit and you'll see what patterns are coming in. What are the new trends? What's trending? But we gotta let the Bible transform our minds more than media, right? So what is changing your mind more each week, the Bible or what you're taking in on social media? God wants to transform our minds for the good. The world is mostly in it to transform our minds towards selfishness or towards unholy thinking. There is positive messages that we can find, but it doesn't mean that they're always biblical, right? And so we got to think about, man, are the scriptures really changing my mind? Or are people that, you know, people typing things into algorithms, are they changing my mind more than God is? That's a humbling thought even just for me to think about. You know, we all know 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And guys, this scripture still applies even in a pandemic when we can't hang out in person with people as much or with people who may not be the best characters. But there is bad company online, right? We all know that. And so you may not be friends with people that you follow on social media, but you're seeing their life, right? Sometimes people share more of their life on their social media than they do in a conversation in person. I mean, it's crazy. We see a lot of people's lives and it can corrupt us, right? And so we gotta not be misled. Social media, it can be very misleading. And we've all experienced that in some way, shape, or form. I know that I have, right? I want to just give you a quick example of how crazy it can get with when it comes to being misled. Some of you may remember Pizzagate or the Pizzagate conspiracy. I'll just describe it briefly here. I just want to kind of illustrate how crazy the actions can become even just through things online. And so in 2016, Hillary Clinton's her campaign manager, his email was hacked, right? And so basically what happened is there was this kind of conspiracy that she was hacked and that these Democratic Party officials somehow knew that there was alleged human trafficking in these restaurants. And one of them called the Comet Ping Pong Pizzeria in DC, right? So there was this conspiracy coming about. And then what happened is it started to hit media and it hit it hard, right? And so social media outlets began to basically promote this conspiracy theory on Channel 4 News, Channel 8, on Twitter, on Instagram. And so in response to this news of something that was manufactured, a man, physically a man from North Carolina, traveled to this pizza place. And he wanted to investigate it, and he fired a rifle inside the restaurant, thinking that there was child trafficking going on underneath the restaurant. And so this restaurant was even sent death threats, right? Because people thought they were doing that. And so the cops had to come. This guy was arrested. But guys, that happened. Like, people took it upon themselves, and this man to come with a gun And it's all because of people doing things behind a piece of technology. And so I just say that to say that whether we realize it or not, our world, our physical world is being affected, which is crazy. And so, you know, this has really led to intense political polarization, right, that we've been experiencing. And it's affected even relationships, right? And so, again, media, it's affecting our world. It's affecting even just the things that we see and perceive. And that kind of transitions into the second point here, which is words matter, right? Being the words that we post. And so watch your words is what we're going to talk about right now. And really what we want to ask you guys is, what words are you posting for the world to see? Right? James 3, verses 3 to 5, talks about words. He says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder. Wherever the pilot wants to go, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. That's a brother of Jesus dropping some knowledge right there. So have you ever read a post that just got your blood boiling, right? It's just a few words, but it just sets you off, right? And it kind of leads to this fire inside of you. And then you have that moment where you ask yourself, should I say something? Should I respond? Should I comment? Is it really worth it? Is this really going to help the situation, right? I know I've been there. Or maybe you've had things going on in your life before, whether good or bad. You're just going through it. And in the middle of that, as you're going through hard things in life, you kind of just want to vent about it on your social media. You want to post about it. You want to just let it all out there when you've yet to really talk to a disciple about it. You know, I've been there too, where you just want to vent and put a lot of words on a post, right? So it's very tempting to make these posts and comments. Maybe these are just some examples I'll bring up. Maybe it's a political post. Maybe it's just something that you disagree with and you want to share your opinion. Maybe you're seeing slander taking place as you're kind of, you know, scrolling through. Whatever you're witnessing, there's this temptation to join in. But guys, we got to be careful with our words, because Jesus chose his words wisely. And so you see, people tend to feel like they can post some bold things on social media and then just kind of hide behind their screen, right? And almost like they can have this another personality on their social media. So guys, here's just kind of a good rule of thumb, is if you wouldn't say it to someone in person, then you probably shouldn't post it, right? And so if you can't, and another thing is, if you can't hear Jesus saying it, whatever you want to post, then you probably shouldn't post it either, right? We got to have that thinking, putting on the mind of Christ, taking captive the thoughts that we have. And so there may be times where you see something posted or a comment from a fellow brother or sister, and you see a comment and it's concerning to you, right? And so that could be a different scenario, right? I think in that situation, first you got to pray for your brother or sister. Then you got to pick up the phone, right? And have a good conversation. Share your concerns about whatever the post was that you saw, right? Come ready with the scripture. Come ready to pray and pray for them to be humble to correction. But we got to be able to help each other be holy when it comes to what we're putting out for the world to see. And so sometimes we need to address things. Other times, when we're just seeing random strangers arguing, I think we just need to steer away, right? We need to stay clear of that. There's other important things that we have to do with our time. And so in short, guys, the goal is to represent Christ wherever we go, right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, he says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Right? So positive, right? Post positive, holy, beneficial things. Many of you are fantastic at this, right? You post scriptures or things that you've learned about God. You put that on your Instagram story. The world sees how much you love the Bible, right? That benefits those who listen or whoever comes across your post, right? But are you being positive? Are you saying beneficial things, meeting really the world's needs? And the world needs to know Jesus. But how's it going with what you're posting? How are your words? You know, I do want to give a quick plug here before I hand it over to Hannah for our social media revamp, right? If you haven't seen, we got some new stuff going on. We got an awesome media team that is just killing it. Today was our first What's Good Wednesday. Give a shout out to Kat for killing it today, sharing her life with us as a disciple. And it was so cool, you know, for people, disciples and non-disciples, to get a look at what her life is like with God. And so, you know, it's super cool. If you haven't gotten, you know, in touch with our social media, there it is. But I'm going to hand it over to Hannah here, and then we'll come in for a landing for the message. So go for it.
Cool. Thank you. Well, after hearing Mark's thoughts about what he wanted to share, I was like, I don't even need to talk tonight because it's all so good and so what we need to hear. So a lot of what I wanted to talk about was just more personally for me, some things that I've noticed about social media, and you hopefully can relate to some of these things, probably mostly just the women for most of what I'll say, but I did want to get a feel for who I was talking to. So I'm going to read off a list of things that maybe may or may not apply to you, but I wanted you guys to raise your hand if you've deleted your social media apps during midterms or finals, or when an important paper was due and you knew you needed no distractions, or you might fail the class and have to rethink your whole future, or because your head was starting to hurt because you maybe linked your screen time and how much you were looking at the screen to how much you had social media, so you had to delete it, or simply because your weekly screen time review revealed just how much time you were spending on your phone and it made you feel a little sick. I don't know if you guys have maybe related to me on any of those things, but if you are like me, you've deleted the apps at one point or another for all of those reasons. And it's because these apps are addicting and your social media feed is made just for you. It's no coincidence that all the first things that you see are from the people you love to watch the most, or that the ads seem to hear and see and know you, right? The Sephora ads are there because Instagram knows you're trying to make up your makeup game. And the posts from the people who are going to fire you up in heated political argument or send you down a rabbit hole of one page to another because Instagram knows what it does for you. They know what will keep you scrolling, keep you clicking, and keep you watching those videos or the reels. And I think that because of these things, it is so important to let scriptures like Ephesians 5:15-16 convict us about how we allow ourselves to be online. And it says in Ephesians 5:15-16, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And I really believe that Satan wants us to spend all of our time creeping on the girl we know just makes us feel insecure, or watching all the celebrity couples, hilarious TikToks and Instagram reels, laughing for a while, but then maybe we watch too much and now we feel less than or jealous or whatever it may make us feel, whatever we're watching. And he wants us to spend all of our free time, not just like, okay, maybe the healthy 5 minutes that we could do, but all of our free time and even our money with those ads on the new trends and the new skincare fads. And he wants us to waste our time and waste the hours that God has given us to do a lot of the things, honestly, that Mark's been talking about tonight and what he'll continue to talk about. about how we can use our time wisely on media. And so God really wants us to make the most of our time in general, but also our time on social media. And I don't think that we need to delete all of our social media and never post or scroll. However, I do think we need to take seriously that part of the scripture that says that we need to be careful. And I think about 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It talks about that the spirit that God gives us gives us self-discipline. And we can say no to scrolling for hours, and we can put timers on our apps or put our phones in another room when we are studying, or unfollow pages and people who aren't good for us mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. And I just think that we need to tap into that. We need to walk with the Spirit and know when enough is enough, and know to stop or to unfollow or to do all these things that we're learning tonight. And the scripture is 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. It talks about a few things that the Spirit that God gave us does, but specifically self-discipline. So that's what I wanted to share tonight. Hope it was helpful.
Amen. Thank you, Hannah. Killing it. And, you know, she made a good point there about having limits. You know, there is a thing on your iPhone, if you have an iPhone, where you can set up those app limits. So we can set up boundaries to help us, right? You don't have to delete everything off your phone or buy a dumb phone or flip phone. But I do think that another kind of practical to consider, some of you have done this, is taking a couple days or maybe even a week just to fast from social media. You know, I've done this multiple times. I know Hannah has. And these are times that I just feel like free. I feel like I'm able to connect with God. And if there's an emergency or something I need to check on social media, I will. But I kind of just let people inform me of that. And so sometimes you just got to unplug, right? You got to just experience God, get outside, maybe have extended quiet times. You know, sometimes it can just be hard for us to sit in silence for just 5 minutes. And there was a time when that might not have been hard. And so we want to kind of transition into this last point, because there is a way to use social media for good and how we can use it to be a light, right? This is going to be a shorter point, and we're going to give you guys a little challenge here. But our third point is be a light, right? Matthew 5, Jesus says in verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world. The town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds on Instagram. No, I'm kidding. And glorify your Father in heaven. He says, you are the light of the world, right? God, he wants our light as Christians to shine before others that they can see just how good it is to live the Christian life, right? We can do that through our media and what we post and what we put up on there, right? So I'm not saying you need to be someone who becomes a YouTuber or make a podcast, or that you even need to post every day. But the point I'm making is we got to be intentional, right? That we can show people how good life with God is through our media, right? Some of you, I do that, right? When I hop on, I'm off of social media right now, but when I do hop on, I see you and I get inspired by you guys, right? And so this Zoom call is full of world changers, and we gotta show the world that, especially during a pandemic where the world sees you only online and not physically, right? It's even more of a time where we gotta be strategic. How can we be evangelistic online, right? How can we think about who we're going to share faith with, or how we could do that through these platforms, right? But whatever you do, don't hide your light. Don't put it under a bowl, right? We got to use our social media to be a light for the gospel. And this is, you know, this is something that honestly sometimes we wrestle, right? We're like, oh, should I post this thing? Is that too bold to say? But guys, Jesus says, anyone who is ashamed of me and my words, he says he'll be ashamed of you, right? And so we got to be unashamed with our light and letting Jesus shine through us again on whatever platform it might be. And so we want to kind of introduce a practical way to end the message here. This is an option, right? But this is a practical way that you can go after being a light. And we're calling it the Jesus Takeover, hashtag Jesus Takeover. We've done similar things to this before. But basically, we just want you guys to answer this question of what do you love about Jesus, right? So you can make a video, you can film yourself, but be specific, like what is it about Jesus that you love, that made you want to follow him? And how has he changed your life? How has he inspired you, right? And so what you can do is when you post it, just tag our campus ministry and then use the hashtag. And that way we can put some positive faith building, maybe even things or posts that'll lead someone to want to study the Bible or get to know Jesus better, right? And so we really appreciate you guys for, you know, just kind of putting on your learning hats tonight and putting on a humble heart. Some of this might be hard to hear, but guys, this would be so cool if all of us really took this challenge. Again, it is optional, but man, if we all took this challenge and we did it, you never know what God could do just through a small group of disciples that wants to be a light, right? And so at this point, we're going to close out, but we do want to open it up. We'll close out the message, but we want to open it up for just a time of discussion.